faithful to give us a building in the middle of a pandemic. We believe that God is faithful to fulfill His promises that He's made to North Elevation Church. We're not going to look at what we see. We're going to believe what He said. We believe that He is faithful to bring about the promises that He's made you personally. And you're not going to look at what you see. You're going to believe what He said. Today, I am not going to do a review of last week. You can go to YouTube, Facebook to watch it, or go to our website to listen to it. But I poured a very simple, basic, but very vital foundation on connecting with the frequency of God's voice. Frequency is a wave radio stations use to do what? To get words out to your ears. Today, you're going to need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because His frequency is alive in this place today. And we've got to tune our ears. So there's nothing wrong with the transmitter. It's the receivers that have got to start working right. And get dialed in to His voice this morning. Early this morning before the sun came up, I had spontaneous worship on. Lights out. And it began to fill my prayer room. And I began to hear the sound of His presence. And as I began to hear the sound of His presence, I became very still and very quiet. And then there began a flow of words from the Father to me for today. Right now, we need to do exactly what I preached last week. You need to shut the noise out. You need to shut the noise out from last week, this morning, this afternoon, what's coming next week, and here it comes, flow of words from God. You need to turn your device off. Or put it face down right now. Because not to do so and to be distracted means before the eyes of heaven that are watching that what God has to say in the next few moments is not important to you. This is not a moment to even take notes. This is a moment to get ready to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying. In that time this morning, as that spontaneous worship began to build in that room, and as I began to just get very still and very quiet before God, and I began to hear the flow of words, and there'll be many I will speak today, but as they began, He said, "Peace, peace, peace. I speak calm. Be at rest." And the next flow of words said, "Release my peace this morning." In the next few moments, don't you be concerned one bit about what anybody thinks. It's nobody's business why you need peace in your life. But if you need peace in your life right now, I can hear the sound of His presence even now in the garden. If you need peace, you need to stand right now, quickly. You need peace. You need calm. You need rest. And you don't need it yesterday. You need it when? Right now. So I'm going to ask one other thing from you this morning. God didn't tell me to do this, but I saw it by the eye of the Spirit while I was with Him in the garden this morning. And you can hear more about that in part one. I'm in the garden with him, and I saw people standing, and then as an act of receiving, lifting their hands before the Father. Lord God, you see. You know, as Colin detailed very clearly, you know the need. And now, I obey you. And in Jesus' most glorious, wonderful, powerful name, I loose peace. 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 I speak calm. Rest. In Jesus' name. Now just receive your rest. God's going to take care of it. God's going to see to it. God is going to even change your sleep and bring rest to your mind and to your body. Only believe and receive. And I declare in Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Frequency is a wave that radio stations use to get words out so that you'll listen to them. I gave you the example last week of the AM radio, how we would dial that thing up and try and get to it, you know, and get dialed in. We got to get dialed in this morning. And we've got to recognize that God is speaking always. The flow of words I got this morning that the Father wanted me to speak weren't a part of my message, because all of this belongs to Him anyway, right? I can put a message together and He can change whatever He wants to, whenever He wants to. And He's called an audible. That's why I have my ostrich boots on. We're running today with the audible. He's setting something up. Do we have an ear to hear what He's trying to do? Because here's what His game plan is: victory. And we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And we've got to quit predetermining when God speaks and where He speaks and who He speaks through. God is speaking all the time. Again, it's not anything wrong with the transmitter, it's the receivers. We are deciding when we're going to listen, when we're not going to listen, who's actually hearing from God and who's not. You know what? This is just a truth. I'm just going to throw this in here because the Holy Spirit said I could. It doesn't matter who I sit under, whether they're great or small, exciting or boring, because I want to hear from God. I can hear from anybody, because I've learned this one thing: God is always speaking, and there'll always be nuggets in the person delivering the Word of God that I need. Always. I'm going to say it again: always. We've got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Always, God is speaking. God is called an audible, and I'm going to do something I don't do. I'm going to talk about two other services. Rochelle, would you help me here for a moment? He's already taken out the first part of my sermon, so we're not going any longer than normal, so hang on. This is a shofar. God called an audible, and this series that was a two-part series is now a four-part series. God can do what He wants. He's got something He wants to say, and we're going to listen. He's turned it into a four-part series. So the last Sunday of this month, as we continue the series Frequency, I'm going to talk about the shofar and connecting with the frequency of the truth of the shofar and what it means to us today. It's not something that's Old Testament and went away. It's New Testament too, but we've got to learn about it and get connected to the frequency. Now, I've had several of these, and it was a great sacrifice a long time ago for Rochelle and I to even purchase this. I've been blowing them for almost 30 years. And I'm going to teach some things on this that you need to hear. And connecting with the frequency of God. This was hand done by a Yemenite priest that I contacted and ordered from. He fixed it, polished it. Yes, when it came in, it stunk to high heaven. But there's a process you use to get the smell out. But you don't want to miss the last Sunday of this month. You want to be here and hear what the Spirit of the living God has got to say. Why the last month? Because Rachel's going to be speaking next week. Rachel. And then the first Sunday of March, when we come into our brand new floors, praise God, we're going to have part four. And one of the things that we put out was that I was going to be talking about two very unique stories in the New Testament. Well, that first story I'm just going to touch on today, it becomes part four. God said, I want this preached on. This one thing, I want it preached on. I want people to understand what I'm expecting. And what I need my people to do to get connected with my frequency. I've already heard from Rachel what she's going to speak next week. Let me say this. I'm doing stuff I don't normally do. Listen, you need to be here for that because it's going to be a word in season in a time that we need to hear it. What she's going to talk about along with this frequency series. Now, Chesterton, G.K., said this, the most incredible thing about miracles is that they happen. I need to read that again. The most incredible thing about miracles is that they happen. I want you to get your expectations up this morning because God's going to do miracles today. Perform miracles. You're going to walk into miracles. We what? We believe. We believe. Now, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to a mountain. That's going to become part four, but I'm just going to touch it. They're in this incredible moment where Jesus' appearance changes. He is now speaking to Moses and Elijah. And the disciples miss something of great importance that we're going to talk about in part four. But they're on this mountain and there's this amazing thing going on. But after the mountaintop experience, they have to come back down off the mountain. And it's what's going on down at the bottom of the mountain that we're going to land on today. And we're going to begin in Mark chapter 9. In verse 14, it says, when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some of the teachers of the religious law were arguing with them. Now, let me make something very clear at this moment. This isn't just the 12 disciples. At this time in Jesus' ministry, there was about 225 people traveling with him that were his disciples. The 12 were the inner group, and then there was even a closer group. Are y'all with me? We're not just talking about 12 disciples here. We've got disciples. We've got this other crowd that's there. And we've got these religious leaders. And they're arguing with them. Now, as I've always said, let's live the scriptures, not just read them. So let's set up the moment. This is a Jerry Springer moment. There's confusion and chaos. Can anybody say amen on a Jerry Springer deal? He's supposed to be helping people, and he makes it worse. There's confusion and chaos going on. You got the teachers of religious law. Here's what their MO is. Accuse and mock. Accuse and mock. And this is free. The church needs to stop doing that. Accuse and mock. The disciples, they're frustrated and defensive. What's the crowd doing? As we've learned about some of the disciples that ran around with Jesus, they were fickled a lot. They're fickled. Here's where they're at. Let's wait and see who gets the last strong comment in, and then we'll be on their side. They're picking sides. Jesus comes off the mountain. You've got some of the disciples, the inner core, is seeing this amazing thing go on. Then they walk into all of this. And in the middle of all this is a sick boy and his father. A sick boy and his father. Let's pick it up in Mark chapter 9, verse 16. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, my son, so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk." Let's pause. This man says, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him." We need to pause and remember that statement, because it just gets passed over and we don't look at what's going on. Remember, he said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him." Now, verse 18. "And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Wait a minute. I thought you just told me that you brought your son so I could heal him. What are you giving him over to the disciples for? I thought you brought him to me. Did the father have the patience to wait on Jesus? No. It's in the what? The waiting and the trusting. Many times we go and say, "I'm going to go to Jesus with this," and we never make it to him. We go talk to everybody else about it. Come on. Instead of the one who could direct my path to who I need to talk to. We cannot let our desperation for a miracle keep us from hearing the voice of the Father. We can't be running here and there and not talking to Him. It's in the waiting. The Father was struggling with the waiting. He's running here and there and not going to Jesus. He just told Jesus, "I brought him so you could heal him. But I checked it out with your disciples first." I can already see it. If he'd have gone to Jesus, Jesus said, he probably would have said this, "It's a good thing you came to me, because those guys can't do this. They're not ready yet. They don't have the faith for it. They talk a good talk, but they don't have the power and the faith yet to see this happen." Anybody with me? But I do. I have the power. And you can go seek him. And he may say, "You know what? If you'll go over to this person over here and you let them lay hands on you and pray for you, you're going to receive your miracle." But who sent you there? Who sent you there? Jesus. The voice of the living God. Anybody tracking with me right now? God's trying to speak some truth here. And don't assume you know who all the anointed are. Why don't you ask God who's the anointed for this particular thing at this particular season? Whoa. Now, Mark 9:19. Jesus answered, you people, I love that, "you people." What people was he talking to? He wasn't talking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He knew they were faithless. He's talking to his disciples, this large group of people, including who? The inner group. "You people have no faith. Unbelieving, faithless generation. If I had been a disciple, I'd been going, is there a bush to hide behind, you know? He's exposing us. But it was good that he exposed them. See, we don't like God to expose us, but he's in the exposing business so that he can grow us, so our faith will get stronger. How long must I stay with you? Yeah, I told you before, can you imagine having to deal with the disciples on a regular basis? I bet Jesus was ready to go home after the first few weeks. They were a bunch. And then you got to deal with Peter. Whew. How long must I stay with you? How long must I put up with you? This is strong language. Bring the boy to me. So the followers, they brought him to Jesus. And as soon as the evil spirit saw Jesus, it made the boy lose control of himself, threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell down and rolled on the ground, foaming at the mouth. But that didn't faze Jesus. We talked about in our opening series of this year how to be unshaken when the world is being shaken. God wants us to get to the place where we believe and we fully trust Him that when something happens so disturbing like this, it does not faze us, but it causes us to rise up in faith to deal with it. That's what He's looking for. In Mark chapter 9, verse 21, it says, how long has this been happening? Do you think, pause for a moment, do you think Jesus didn't know how long this was going on? Come on now, He's the Son of God. There's a reason He asked the question. How long has this been going on? Because Jesus wanted the people to recognize the breadth and the depth and the amazing moment that was about to take place in this healing. To understand the full power of Jesus' words. His words. Aren't we supposed to be speaking His words? The power of those words? Aren't we supposed to be praying the Scriptures? Aren't we supposed to be declaring the Scriptures? That is the power of whose words? His words. And it will change things. So He's wanting the people to come to a place where they'll have the due respect of the power of this miracle. Be careful. Be careful that when someone tells you about a miracle, that you flippantly say something like, oh, I've seen that before. Or that's nothing. I know something greater. No, in that moment, you should celebrate with them and get excited because any miracle is amazing. Any miracle is amazing. So Jesus asked the boy's father, and his reply was, since he was a little boy. Verse 22, the Spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Pause. He would only be there because he had heard what Jesus had done, right? He had heard about it, heard testimonies, probably met people, might even seen a miracle from a distance. And then he's asking, if you can. Why would he ask say that? Because your disciples couldn't. Aren't they a part of you? I hope the church is listening to what I just said. I hope you can, because they couldn't, and they're a part of you. We get mad at the Father for asking Jesus, if you can, understand and live the Scriptures where He was. He just went to the disciples and it didn't happen. Now the religious leaders are mocking them and making fun of them. The crowd all of a sudden, you know, the ones that walk with Jesus said, I'm not with them. I just came here because there might be some free food, you know, fish and bread. Live the moment. Does that sound pretty typical even in our day? So the Father gave an honest statement to Jesus where he was. Now, I love Jesus' reply to him. What do you mean, if I can? Now, here's what I see. Jesus goes, what do you mean, if I can? Tapping his foot, looking at the disciples. See what you've caused? He don't even know if I can. Real moment. Come on, real moment. And Jesus, in his loving, merciful, caring reality of who he was, he said, what do you mean, if I can? And Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. All things are possible. That's why you can't look at what you see. You got to look and receive by the Spirit's eye what he has said. And receive it as yours. We're receiving what God has promised us here. If he can provide the building, he can do everything else he said he's going to do here. Verse 24. Immediately, I love this, the father of the boy cried out with a desperate, piercing cry. I can just see one of the spectators sitting there watching all this going on. It's starting to get pretty tense. Jesus staring at the disciples. The crowd's fickled. The father is questioning whether, can you really do this? And man, you're just, you know, and now you're just kind of focused. And all of a sudden, this father with this piercing cry, and you fall to the ground. You think, you know, heaven just showed up in a lightning bolt. Startles you. Piercing cry. You need to be here for the shofar message, because I'm going to talk about the piercing cry and getting connected with his frequency. So this father, from the very depth of all that he was, explodes with this cry to Jesus. And as he is exploding with this cry to Jesus, in verse 24, the second half of it says, and saying, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. There's many times we're sitting in services, even right here, that we're not listening. And the very nugget I need to overcome something just got spoke, but I'm too busy thinking about yesterday or surfing the internet or checking an app out. You know what the Lord said to me this morning? I said a flow of words. He said he is so displeased with the church and its lack of discipline to listen to the Word of God. And the excuses of why we're on our phones, he said, I'm not listening to them. God wants to drop something in you so that you can overcome what might come tomorrow. Anybody with me? We've got to have ears to hear. Now, I have a pinned truth. What are pinned truths for our guests? Those are revelations from God that I've received or things I've learned in my walk with God. Pinned truth. The Father's simple reality, I believe you can do anything, just not sure you will do it for me. Come on, is that real? We've seen God do stuff, right? We don't disbelieve God can do stuff. But do we not find ourselves many times in a place where we wonder, will he do it for me? I can listen to testimonies from other senior pastors in churches, and they tell their these amazing things God has done in their church. And I can sit there, if I allow myself, to get into a place of frustration, even oppression, by going, you know, God, I know you can do this stuff, but will you ever do that for us? But what I love about the Father here, and if you read it in different translations, it's the same thing. What I love about the Father, what did he do? He was just very, very honest with Jesus. He just got honest with him. You know what, Jesus? I believe it's possible. I believe you can do anything. I'm just struggling with, will you do it for us? So, Jesus, help me overcome my what? My unbelief about you'll do it for me. I'm here to declare to you, Jesus is ready to do it for you. You must what? Jesus told him in the beginning, what did Jesus tell him? All things are possible if you what? Believe. Now, we don't have this. They don't pin everything. But as I'm living this, knowing the loving of the Father, I can just see him leaning over quietly with nobody else hearing him, said, now, you need to believe I will do it for you. Because I will. He was honest with him. Mark 9, 25, verse 25 through verse 27. When Jesus saw that crowd was rapidly gathering around them, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. After screaming out and throwing him into a terrible convulsion, it came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse, so still and pale, that many of the spectators said, you know, that's exactly the way I view it. It became what? I'm just here to watch. That's another message to the church. Don't come here and watch. Come here and worship. That was free. Okay, now. As he was dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he stood up and healed him. And what did it take? It took a father getting honest where he was, and then he saw a miracle. He said, help what? My unbelief. He helped his unbelief by what? Healing his son. But he got honest with Jesus about where he was. Didn't play games. Didn't try to be spiritual. Just said, I'm struggling. If you would just take care of my hangnail, I could believe for the next thing. The scribes are faithless. The crowd is fickle, lacks faith. Disciples are frustrated, haven't been completely listening to Jesus. I can go back. He's already said enough. They should have been in a different place right now. But they weren't. And in the middle of this is a father who's just doubling down on being honest with Jesus. Rochelle's going to join me on the platform as I read to you, and I append my final statement, and then we're going to do something here in a moment. We're going to call this an anointing moment. My final statement, to be real is to be utterly honest and dependent on Jesus. Hear the key word? Dependent. He reached a point where he was what? Totally dependent on who? Jesus. To do this. He was not totally dependent on Jesus in the beginning of all this, because why? He took them to who? The disciples. We got to get completely dependent on who? Jesus. Jesus will guide us and direct us. God is not partial to the giants of faith. God is moved by your struggles and your honesty of, I believe, but help my unbelief. Being real unleashes God's love, mercy, and grace. Just a humble, honest cry of being real to the only one who has the power to change everything. We find in the scriptures, in Acts chapter 19, in verse 11, it says, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." Did anybody speak anything? It touched Paul. Paul carried an anointing that broke the yoke of bondage in people's lives. An anointing. This morning, in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you, if you need a miracle, to take a step of faith. And in taking that step of faith, come to this place with all honesty with God where you are. Maybe it's not a fact that you don't think He can do it for you. It's just you've been through so much, you have gotten weakened in the fight. Anybody been there? You get weary, right? You get weary. Haven't completely give up, but we're weary. Maybe you have given up. Maybe you just refuse to change some things in your life, but you still want God to do some stuff, but you refuse to change. Ooh, that's a whole other thing. And maybe it's just, "Father, I really do believe you can do all these things. I'm just struggling right now with, are you really going to do this for us?" We have cut up cloths. And this morning, Rochelle and I anointed all these cloths, and we prayed, laid our hands in these baskets, and held those cloths. Why is this important, Pastor Corey? Because not only do you take a step of faith, but sometimes you need to be reminded about that step. So this morning, when you come, we're going to start at either end. I'm going to ask no one to leave. This isn't the exit moment. This is your moment, if you don't come forward, to pray for those that are down here. Because they're believing God for what? A miracle. And as you take that prayer cloth, you put it wherever you need it. You keep it with you. Many of you didn't know Congressman Ron Wright. But he told me over and over again that he made it as far as he did. And he wasn't afraid to go home at all. But he told us over and over again that he knew that he made it as far as he did. Because guess what he kept in his billfold? He kept the word I gave him in a prayer cloth. And he did some amazing things before he went home to be with Jesus. I love the fact he went and told his Catholic priest what we'd done, and he said, "Don't get rid of it." Do you need a miracle? Again, it don't matter what anybody thinks. I don't care. You know, all the busybodiness has got to end. None of your business. You don't have to know everything. Do you need a miracle? Come. Come. Some of you need a miracle in your families. Some of you need a miracle in marriages. You need miracles at work. You need miracles in your business. Some of you need a new boss. God's good at changing things. When we can't, I'm going to ask everybody to kind of spread across all the front so we can pray for you. Yeah, all the way up here, line, go out, we'll find you. It's Colin's job to tell us who we haven't prayed for yet. So stand up, son-in-law. We're going to start at each end. You grab a cloth. And when you grab this cloth, I have only one instruction from the Father. Remember the flow of words I got? He said, give this instruction to them. When they take the cloth, they need to say, "I believe." You know what you're saying in that moment? I believe you're going to do this for me. You're going to do this Are you ready for that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. You can cut my mic. Well, I'll turn it off then.
Trust Him. Keep our eyes on Him. And believe Him. Believe His Word. Hi there. And just believe. What is our motto right now? We believe. Okay, so we're going to say it all together. One, two, three. We believe in Jesus' name. Now receive your miracle.
Thank you, Father.
Done now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may go back to your seat for just a few moments. Do you believe?
Yes.
Did you receive?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Rachel? I have no idea where the mic went there.